welcome to Clamped, a weekly podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm your host, Grant Alexander, and unfortunately, Jesse is sick this week. So this week, we are graced by the presence of the one and only, and this week only, Adam Mackey. Hey, Adam, how's it going this week?
I'm good. I've had a pretty good week this week, actually.
Yeah, that's good to hear. For those who are watching on YouTube, Adam has turned into a cam girl and has got a remote control camera.
Yes, right. I didn't understand what you were saying at first because I'm like, the picture's still the same. But yes, I got myself a full 360 camera. I know it's got a phone on the box. Anyone who wants to see what I'm talking about, go to YouTube and you'll see the box. But it's for a DSLR as well. And so I can do A to B pointing, and then I can press play and it will like rotate and lift up and down and everything. So I can, with the remote, I can move it up and down and left and right.
Nice.
So yeah, I can essentially set it to do like a time lapse rotation while it's recording me. So it looks like someone's moving the camera. So that paired with the slider that I'm making, I can get some pretty cool movements of like going across as it rotates. And but the only thing I don't like about it, I was under the impression, because it says it does A to B movement, so I was under the impression that I could say point the camera at a spot, press A, and then move it to where I want it to finish and press B, and then press play. But I can't. All I can do is I can tell it that I want it to move, say, 20 degrees in 10 seconds or whatever. So I have to sort of work out how much I want it to rotate in a certain amount of time. But you can only do that for the rotation, not the up and down, which is what annoys me, because I thought I'd be able to go like from up top left corner, for instance, down to like bottom right corner. But you can't. Like key points. Yeah, but it doesn't, unless I'm missing something, which I don't think I am. I've read the manual and everything, but.
Okay, I was going to say, did you read the fucking manual? Because
I did. And from what I can work out, there's no keyframes. It's literally just you tell it how much you want it to turn in a certain amount of time, but there's no turn plus up or plus down or.
Weird.
So, I don't know. I'm going to message the company and see if there's something that I'm missing.
Yeah, maybe there's like an app that you have to do it.
Actually, I didn't even think of that. Maybe there is an app.
Yeah, I find like that's where most of the like companies have tried to go when they try and advertise new features. It's hidden within this app instead of making it part like something that you can do, because they want you to download the app and get access to all your personal information. And
I don't mind if there's an app, but I mean, it's a pretty cool remote though. Like the remote's pretty fancy and it's got a shutter button too.
I do not want an app I don't mind an app as long as I also have a device that does every single thing the app does. I absolutely hate, like, you know, if you have a garage door opener and you have to download the app in order to set the vacation time or something, or if you have like a thermostat and the touchscreen thermostat looks real nice, but you need to download the app in order to use some of the functions. You go, you're a touchscreen thermostat. You're the computer. Yeah. Like, come on, guys. Oh, it's so frustrating.
I just looked over the box and it says two axis linkage for A to B. So two axis would be rotation plus up and down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I must be missing something.
That's probably true.
I don't know. I need to go through it again.
I'm sure you're missing lots of things.
I'm sure I am. it's got a button on the remote to like press record and take a photo and stuff. So on the side of the main part of the body has a 3.5 mil output, and then my camera takes a 2.5 input to like add a shutter button. So I just got to get a cable to go from that little, like, I need it to be like 10 centimeters, 15 centimeters long. And of course I can't find one that short, and I don't really want to have like a meter long cord wrapped up hanging off the side, because that just stupid and annoying. But
you will only find ones that are too short or too long. That is the only way it works.
I don't mind making my own, but I've never had success in wiring aux cable myself. Like re-putting on like the 3.5 mil jack, I've never had success in doing it.
I've only done it with like a splice in the middle.
Yeah.
Right. Like I've never been, I agree with you. I've never really had good luck on like repairing the end of a broken.
Well, I found a cable that's perfect, and it's like, it's about 15 centimeters long. One end has the 2.5 at a right angle, which is exactly what I want. And on the other end is a 3.5 female. So like the hole. So all I need is a male to male 3.5 of like one, like with no cable, just literally just the two pins together. So I wonder if I could find that. And then
I cannot believe in this day and age how difficult it is to find these like cables and sometimes like of particular configurations that you want. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's so difficult. And I think it has everything to do with shitification of Google. But it used to be like you could just Google something and like the best result would come up. And now it isn't. Yeah. And they've done studies that have actually proven that Google's results are no longer as good as they once were.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah. But I find that I have a lot of issue like searching things these days as well, because so many companies are trying to sort of not clickbait you, but like if I search 3.5 to 2.5 millimeter jack or aux cable, 15 centimeters long, if it's 14 or 16 centimeters long that they sell, it won't show up.
Because Google's not
working. It's so frustrating. Yeah, it's so frustrating.
When I was looking for parts for my trailer, I was looking for a metal. I wanted it to be metal, like a male hose connector. And like it's like standard stuff you'd find on a boat, right? And I could only find plastic stuff. And then I was like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to go through like the 10 pages of Google. I'm just going to keep going and go and go and go. And I found in my fucking city, there was a place that sells them. And they have an online store. And it was on like page 9 of Google. And I was like, and it was the thing I was looking for. And the description matched the words I used. And I just went, how is this not anywhere closer to the, like, it was just kept going like, you know, Alibaba and, you know, Amazon, you know, Europe. And I was like, why are you giving me Amazon Europe links before you give me the Chandlery, which is a store in my city?
Yeah.
Where you know where I live.
It drives me insane that you can't, every now and then it'll pop up, say nearby when I search for things that I want to buy. But I should be able to do that with everything. Like show me local stores. I don't want to buy online. I want to find somewhere close by that I can go to on the way home from work or whatever.
Right. Yeah. I know. It's so frustrating. And it used to be better. And I could probably rant about that forever, but we're not going to do that. Have you been working on anything else?
No. Yes. Just more Blender stuff. Yeah. I sent a sneak peek to Jeff. I haven't shared it yet, but I modeled piece by piece my Ender 3 in Fusion, transferred it over to Blender, and now I have a completely functioning animatronic 3D printer in Blender of my Ender 3.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. It was like 355 pieces or something, like every nut and bolt and everything.
Wow.
Although a lot of that's like 2 weeks copy and paste.
I think you're going to get a new 3D printer. And I don't know why. I just have a feeling. I just feel like you're like, this is what happens is you spend a whole bunch of time and effort on something. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the 3D printer broke and a deal came up for a bamboo. And now I've got a bamboo.
I do want to upgrade my printer, but it won't be this year because I'm saving my money to go to America.
Yeah. Well, that is exciting and far away. So let's talk about what I did last week. I've been working on, I actually posted some videos up on the old internets, up on the Facebooks and the Instagrams, of me working on my cookie table. So a while ago, 2 years ago, my spruce tree, which is actually featured in one of my very first YouTube videos. My spruce tree in my front yard, the top of it got blown off by a windstorm, and the way that spruce trees or other like evergreen trees, the way they grow is if they lose their top piece, another branch will take over. But if they lose too much, they just can't. They could if we didn't have a freeze thaw cycle, it would be fine. But because you know, everywhere that I know that evergreens flourish, it's generally in a colder climate. The problem is when it's too far down, the hole is too big, and there's not enough time for one of the branches to take over being the top.
Right.
And so what happens is that bit at the top fills up with water and then splits the tree. And then when it freezes, splits the tree apart, fills up with more water, freezes again, keeps splitting the tree apart, and it will just kill the tree. And it will, and then it becomes a widowmaker where one day it'll just fall over, or a big chunk of it will fall off from the freeze thaw cycle. So with that in mind, even though I loved that tree and that was the tree I wanted to save, and I wanted to cut down the other tree, even though I love the other tree too. But if I had a choice between the two trees that could fall, I wouldn't have picked the spruce. But anyways, I had to cut it down. So that was like 2 years ago. And I made a bunch of cookies out of the part of the trunk that was closer to the ground, because it's the biggest. And now I am in the process of trying to get it ready for building a just simple table out of it.
Yep.
So I removed the bark, and I did some testing with a moisture meter, and it is still too moist.
Was it 1 year for every inch of thickness or something, I think?
Yeah, and I think it's about the piece that I picked was about 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
So we're not in – it was like eight. Yeah. For those at home, he referenced how big a male would say 3 inches is. So it was about 18%. Which is getting there, but I also know that I'm only like my probe is only going to go in, like it only goes in like half an inch. So I know I'm not getting a full reading into the middle. So but removing the bark was a good start, and then I'll let it dry, probably another year, and hopefully be able to continue the process from there. It's already starting to split as cookies do, and I'll probably do some bow ties or something else. No. Well, I think I might actually do epoxy. I might cover it in epoxy because it's spruce, and spruce is like super.
It's epoxy not like for greatest. A coating, though, is different to epoxy to fill cracks and stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I might do some sort of really like epoxy like coating, because otherwise I don't know. It's not like it's, you know, it's spruce. It's even though they say like, oh, I'm going to spruce it up, as like a like how you're going to make something better is by sprucing it up, which is better than pine, I guess, but that's about all it's better than. But with so that,
it's funny. It's funny because it's one of waiting for a cookie and stuff to dry out is one of the only sort of projects where waiting is just part of the build process.
Yeah, well, that we like, I think that a lot of people do the waiting for us, which is great because I have a problem with waiting. I'm not very good at it. And well, I think Adam and I were talking and we have the same problem, whereas if we have something scheduled in the future, like an appointment in the afternoon, it ruins our whole day.
It really does.
Yeah. I can't do anything at all for fear of missing the appointment.
Yeah.
And since I started the ADHD meds and then TikTok and whatever heard me say the word ADHD, so they serve up a bunch of short form content about ADHD. They, yeah, I don't know how they know it, but I guess they saw that I Googled the ADHD medication a bunch of times to see what the side effects were. I found that this is apparently an ADHD problem, and it has to do with a way that you manage your symptoms. Basically, you're afraid that you will get so into something, you will miss an appointment, you'll miss an exam, you'll miss a whatever it is, because you know that sometimes you can get hyper-focused.
Yeah. You actually just reminded me, because I have a referral from about 3 weeks ago to get tested for ADHD, and I still haven't gone and so I've got to take the referral in because I called them and they didn't receive it. Anyway, I progress. Progress? Yeah. That's not the word. Regress. No.
Doesn't
whatever.
Doesn't matter what word it's.
Doesn't matter. So I work mornings at work. I start work about 2 a.m., get home by midday most days. I can't stand working afternoon shift, because the whole day, all I'm thinking is I've got to get home in time because I've got to be home in time because I've got to go to work soon. Like, even if I don't have to go to work for another 6 hours, I'm like, no, I've got to get home. I can't go out because I've got to go out soon. Drives me insane. I can't stand having appointments in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'll only make appointments in the afternoon if it means leaving work early.
Yeah.
But if it's on my day off, no, I'd prefer it in the morning.
Yeah, and if I'm booking an appointment on a day that I work, I try to time it so that it's booked on my way home from work, so I don't have to come home and then go out again.
Right. Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's what I mean. Like, I leave work and go to the appointment and then go home, and that way I'm not like I wouldn't do like an 11 o'clock appointment, because from morning till 11, I am doing nothing.
Yeah.
I am waiting for the appointment to happen.
We have Google Nests all throughout the house. We have an alarm that goes off 10 minutes before my son's school bell goes, just to remind me that I have to go get him every afternoon, because I can't think about like what's in. I remember watching, probably like Roman Atwood or some vlogger, and they were like, oh, we've got to leave in an hour, so I'm just going to quickly run to the shops and do some shopping and come home. And I'm like, how do you have enough time to go to the shops and go shopping in an hour? Like, it's just, I don't get it. Like, I'd be sitting at home thinking, I'd be sitting on that lounge just thinking, I've got to go in an hour.
So I have been, I have that same problem, but I also do like other things that I'm like, no, I can fit it in. And it's like a challenge to me.
Hmm.
Right. Like today I got home. It was a Beaver Scout night. So it was with my son. We got home. It was around 8 o'clock. And they usually start going to bed around 8:15. And I was out of beer, and I was like, and it was a challenging evening, with like all the kids screaming and whatnot, and like some, you know, just kids being kids.
Yeah.
And we tried to make, towers using Play-Doh and spaghetti, and the instructions said marshmallows and spaghetti. And I didn't want the marshmallows because they're a little sticky and they would just eat them all. And I didn't want a bunch of – we're not allowed to have food in the gym. So I said, well, maybe Play-Doh would be better.
Play-Doh's food? Wait, spaghetti's food?
Yeah, spaghetti's not – uncooked spaghetti's not food. Anyways, so marshmallows have that like outer layer that
has a little
bit of structure to it. And I bought brand new Play-Doh for this thing because I was like, yeah, you know, why not? I didn't know how many – Play-Dohs we're going to need. I didn't know how many kids were going to show up. So I said, just brand new Play-Doh, right? So the brand new Play-Doh, I don't know if you've ever used it, is like viscous. It is like almost liquid but that's great as Play-Doh. It's not great as a building material.
Yeah.
So no one could make more than two.
It's like we're working with wet cement.
Yeah, pretty much. And so use the spaghetti to – anyways, I think marshmallows would have been a better thing to get them higher, but it was what it was. All that to say is we got home 8 o'clock, 8:15. So I have 8 to 8:15. I have to go to the beer store and get beer. I have no problem doing that, right? Because I know how long it takes to go to the beer store, pending an accident. I almost hit a Canada goose. It just walked out in front of my car, I was like, what are you doing? And I had to swerve into another lane, but like, you know, checking. There's no one on the road. It's 8 o'clock.
What's a Canada goose?
I'll just look
what it makes
up.
It different to a normal goose?
It is different. It's a particular goose. They're all over North America.
Okay, I'm going to have a look.
You've never heard of a Canada goose? Oh, my God.
No.
All right. Anyway, so, but I know it's like, it's a 10-minute thing, and I know I have 15, so I have 5 minutes to spare, so I can do it. But when I don't know, like if I was going to go to the bank to cash one of my Amazon checks, which I keep getting, now I'm like, I get them every month. It doesn't look like a duck. They're giant. And they got a big, giant neck.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
They're fantastic, but they're also very aggressive.
Why is every animal in Canada massive? Like a fucking moose.
I would say they're all big because we have such land mass. So we used to have like woolly mammoths, and we used to have giant, like in North America, there used to be like giant sloths and stuff. Like we used to have giant stuff in North America because we have such a large land mass. And humans, you know, we kind of fucked that all up.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've ever seen a bison. They're huge. Yeah. Back to Amazon. The forest?
Amazon? No. Checks. You're talking about checks.
Ah. So I have to go to the bank to cash these checks because they're from an American bank. And so, like, now you can just, like, take a picture of a check and deposit it through my mobile app. If it's a Canadian check, I can do that. Because they're American checks, I have to go to the bank. And I don't know if you've ever been to the bank, but it is not fast to go and stand in line to cash a check if you have to talk to a teller. If you just
depends
go,
on
like,
the day.
I've been there and I've walked right up. I've also been walked up and I was the first person in line and I stood there for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just went, and then like a giant line formed behind me and I was like, I don't know what's happening here. It was really frustrating because exactly, sometimes this is exactly the problem. I have to have like a 3-hour period for me to feel confident could do a 20-minute task, which is so weird. But
it's funny you just reminded me. So I have the local post office to my work. They have what's called parcel lockers. So they'll put your parcel in there and you can access it 24 hours a day.
Yep.
I buy a lot of stuff on AliExpress and I get it all shipped to the parcel locker because that way I don't have my wife having to go at me for getting parcels every day. Like my new mug. I don't know if you can see that. It's like a camera lens.
Camera. Yeah.
So they put the parcels in the locker at about 10 a.m., but I sometimes leave work around 9, 9:30. So I, on my phone, track the parcels because ADHD, and I see that they've got it, but it's not in the locker. And I go to the post office and walk in and say to them, oh, hey, I just want to check if my parcel's here. And this woman walked out yesterday and she goes, oh, I know that. I know him. That's Adam. He doesn't like waiting for us to put it in the parcel locker. So he comes in to get it because I go home and then I can't get it till the next day on my way to work.
Right.
Because it's an hour away from home.
Yeah, they don't.
Well, I've told them that. I have told them that. And like, but I feel like a bit of a dick for it because they're like, oh, well, you should just wait for it to go in the locker. But like, I don't know. I don't like waiting for the next day.
Right, because the whole time, especially, it all depends on what it is, too, right?
Yeah.
I have, yeah, okay. So, in terms of, like, making and running a business or anything like that, I found that, and, like, I'll include, like, content creation as a business. I found that, like, I used to be so much better at utilizing my downtime. My like wait time between things, like we used to every night, you know, my son has a bath and my wife gives him the bath.
Yeah.
And it's like 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Right. And that's time that I could use to do something. and it's not quite enough time to like go out in the shop and like get into a project, because then I'm going to have to like come back in and like, you know, do the bedtime, the rest of the bedtime routine. But it is still like it's 15, 20 minutes. And I used to be much better at like, okay, I'll go do like a little bit of editing, or I'll go do like, I'll respond to comments, or, you know, I'll do something productive. And I have found since like getting enthralled by short form content that now I choose to use those 15 minutes to scroll through, mindlessly scroll through content.
TikTok.
And just flick, 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 flick. And I'm not even like entertaining myself. I am not actually doing anything productive. I used to like, I used to watch a YouTube video to see, like, it was a long form content to get ideas on how to edit and get ideas on, you know, what worked in that video. How did they do the camera angles, stuff like that. And now I just flip, 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 flip through short form content. And none of it is actually related to anything. Like, I've got fucking Cars movies, you know, like the Pixar Cars movies. I don't know why that's all popping up. Probably because I've got a, we watch it like once a week here. you know, I get like Lego, I get RC cars, I get, you know, the normal stuff that everyone else complains about that I'm okay with. And, you know, the people who use the cameras.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't complain about that. It's nice as a break, but I got rid of TikTok. So one of the things I did, I got rid of TikTok. I deleted it because I was having a problem with TikTok. And then all of the other platforms have the same bullshit. And I have been really hesitant to delete Facebook and Instagram because, well, on Instagram, like that's how I connect with most of my people. And I'm chatting with people on DMs or whatever on Instagram. And I follow a lot of people I actually care about and I want to see what they're working on. Facebook, it's because I, you know, post reels there and I don't want to have to like download the app every time I want to post a reel. But a part of me, I think that's what I might start doing. I might delete it and download it. Like, it only takes 10 seconds to download it. I think that's what I'm going to do. To utilize those 15 minutes in a more healthy way.
Yeah. My problem is that I watch reels and I'm not going to I don't want to delete Instagram.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think reels are healthy. So I'm going to delete it.
Delete Instagram as well. So every time you want to do a post, like, or whatever, you've got to download it.
Yeah. Well, so Instagram, I don't watch reels on Instagram very much. I mainly scroll through like my home feed, but on Facebook, I'm just on the reels. That's all I do. There's nothing else. It's all ads. It's all ads on Facebook except for the reels. Yep. Right? It's so like there's ads in reels too, but like Facebook is not like
as bad. Yeah.
90% sponsored posts. I'll load up Facebook and the first 5 posts are sponsored posts. And I go, where are all my friends? What are they doing? I don't know anymore because Facebook doesn't show me. But
I feel like short term content I'm not too bad with. I mean, I watch a lot of it, but it's generally if I'm waiting for something, not like paint to dry, but like if I'm waiting for my next train at work, I'll be scrolling through reels or go on the toilet or something like that. Whereas if I'm actually have time to watch a video or whatever, I don't generally watch short term. Actually, lately I'm so far behind in all my subscriptions on YouTube because I just been spending all my time doing Blender.
Right. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's those 15 minute breaks, those times that you have where you're waiting for the next train or whatever, you could be more productive. You could be reading, reading stuff that is giving you advice and guidance on how to make better content. You could be listening to a podcast where I can't listen to a podcast unless I'm doing something else because then I just can't, there's not enough interaction for me to do that. I can't like sit in a chair and listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
Like I need to be doing something else and then I think it's great. But, you know, like those 15 minutes could be better spent. You know, in the bathroom, you don't need to watch reels. I think it would be actually more healthy if everyone put down their phone and just stared at a wall for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I can't do it. Like even if I'm doing the dishes, I've got a YouTube video playing on my phone sitting on the windowsill. Or like I always have to have background noise. I can't stand silence.
But that is the problem. And I think it's unhealthy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it's literally something that we have been like broken. We're broken because of it. And I want to get away from it. And I know there have been times where I've been in places that don't have any reception at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like camping or whatever, backwoods stuff. There's no reception. I have no desire to pull out the phone.
Yeah. When we were younger, like, I don't know, 15, what am I? 34, like 15-ish years ago, 15.
Yeah.
10, 15 years ago, we would go to my wife's nan and pop's place about an hour away from here, and there was no reception at all. And my wife's parents live there now. But now they've got internet and reception and all that stuff. And it's not the same as when we were younger, because when we were younger, it was our escape from the digital world. Like we would go there and actually enjoy ourselves, sit around the fire, have a few beers. Now it's just playing on our phones nonstop.
And this is where I think you don't have to wait to be productive. You can be productive in those 15 minutes. In that time waiting, you can do things. You can talk to people. You can have conversations. There's so much you can do. And I think we're fooling ourselves into thinking that we're getting some sort of value out of this constant scrolling, and we're not getting it. And as someone who produces content for that, I feel kind of shitty doing it, right? Like, I think that's part of the reason why I think I've kind of pulled back a little bit on creating the content, is because I go, I don't know how healthy it is to create this content.
Yeah.
Like, but someone else is going to do it anyway. I don't know. It's like a catch-22, but I don't know.
I don't know. It's I've actually been making it a big sort of trying to make it part of me to, if I'm sitting in a meal room, I try not to put headphones in so I can actually talk to the people that come in the room. Whereas I used to just put headphones on and just ignore everyone.
Right. And this is where, like, I really want to utilize those 15 minutes and, you know, I talk about them 15, it could be 30, it could be an hour, could be five hours. Like, and I find I've sat and scrolled on my phone for an hour and gone like, I could have done so much in that 1 hour.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it has to do with like, I'm waiting for, I'm waiting for someone to show up to like, you know, do some work on my house or whatever, or, you know, like where you have to like let them in or they're, you know, whatever it is, you're waiting for the city to come by and like change your meter out. And they gave you a time period of like 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so you're just like twiddling your thumbs waiting. Mm. And instead of being productive that whole time, I'm so worried about missing that I sit in like in a place where I know I will guarantee to hear the doorbell or the door knock. And I just scroll on my phone. And I could instead sit there and read a book. I could instead sit there and just think about life. But I don't.
Mm.
And I want to, though. I think it's a lot more healthy to just be in the moment and not be scrolling on your phone and not be looking at your phone constantly. You do not need it. It is like a, you know, like there's like those like security blankets, like Lioness from Peanuts. Like that's what I think our phones have become.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I stress if I don't have my phone or if I don't have reception or, you know, we've talked about it before of, you know, clearing out notifications as soon as they come in. Always. Yeah. I'm always like, even when I'm driving home, I have my phone sitting next to me. I don't usually touch it much, but I'm always looking over to see if I get a notification.
Now that's, I don't do that. I'm really, really, I used to, when phones started coming out, I remember before, like, you had the internet on your phone, you had games on your phone. And I recall driving one day and being like, I'm bored, because I was like driving between Ottawa and Kingston. It's like a 2-hour drive, and I've driven it like so many times that I just kind of felt like I know this.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, this is before even like all the ad campaigns about like stay off your phone. I pulled out my phone and I started playing. I had a blackjack game on it, or poker game. I can't remember. And I started playing it while I was driving. And then eventually I just, like, nothing happened. No bad accidents. Not even like, I just recognized that I went, I should probably, like, I'm behind this giant, like, machine of potential death. If I'm not paying attention, I should just put this away. I don't need to be doing this. I should be concentrating on what's happening here. And since that time, I don't touch my phone if my car is moving.
Yeah.
Except for to change
it's pretty,
like, songs. But like,
yeah, it's pretty rare that I touch the radio, it.
Right.
I don't like scroll through TikTok or anything like that.
I see people doing that though. That's a crazy
thing. Oh, so do I. Yeah.
And I don't understand, like, and this is where I think it's so unhealthy. We're so addicted to our phones. And I think it has everything to do with when we have those time periods, we don't want to be introspective. We don't want to be alone with our thoughts. So much so that we're like, do you recall, like, before phones, you'd pick up the shampoo bottle and read the ingredients when you're in the bathroom? Like, how much can you be so unwilling to sit there with your own thoughts that you have to pick up a bottle of shampoo to read it? But that is what we do. I don't know. I think so. The big thing, like, what I'm going to try and do is, like you said earlier, the scheduling alarms can be very helpful. The other thing is, I heard Bob was talking about this on the Bob from I Like to Make Stuff was talking about it on Making It, is that he heard about someone who, like, scheduled out his day and found those little gap periods and added tasks in those times so that he wasn't wasting them.
Right.
So instead of spending, like, you know, you have an hour between this activity and that activity.
Yeah.
Instead of just sitting there wasting it, you go, okay, I've got an hour. I can do this in that hour. And once you have a task in that hour or whatever, or that 15 minutes, whatever the time period may be, if you have a task in there, you can do it. Yeah, right. If you know that the task can be completed in that hour. I think a big problem I have is, like, a lot of times you don't know how long something's going to take and you're worried about starting it, because you're worried about it not being completed in time.
Mm.
But you know what else I'm worried about not being completed in time?
Your clamp challenge?
You're right. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the clamp challenge. So the clamp challenge for 2024 is the make a project that involves a clamp or many clamps, because you can never have enough. Turn that clamp into something functional, artistic, or just plain fun, and you'll have a chance to win great prizes from people including Chapman Manufacturing, Housemade Industrial, Isotunes, and A Weird Guy. This project has to be a new project that's completed between the start of the competition, so already started, and the end, which is April 30th, which is coming up really quick, guys. To enter, all you need to do is post your project on Instagram with the hashtag ClampChallenge2024 and tag us or collaborate with us. With the at Clampcast by the 30th of April for your chance to win. We had our very first official entry.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about it. Ethan Carter Designs made a device for helping him doing debossing or embossing in leather with a couple of clamps. I think it's a great little design. His last clamp challenge entry got a million views. We'll see how many this one got. But I just recall like the amount of ridiculous views because he made a leather, an epoxy clamp covered in leather. This one was a much more functional project.
Yeah, last year was artistic.
Yeah, or fun. yeah, but no, this is an actual. So this is something I've actually been trying. This might his idea might be the thing that I make because I need to make something for making our Patreon stamps. Because right now I use a couple of clamps and they're often, it's really frustrating to try and set them up on the edge of your desk and get really like consistent clamping on those leather embossed keychains that all of our Patreon supporters have received, especially the F clamp level one, Scott from Daddy Yourself DIY, Joe Herdina, David Wood from DW Wood Builds, Brad from I'm Gonna Make, and Chad from Chad's Custom Creations. All those people and all the other ones have all received a custom keychain made by me, as well as now we have teamed up with Gnome Hammer, and you get entered into the monthly draw for an awesome hammer from him. And if you want to get in on that, you can go to patreon.com/clamp. The reason we have the ability to do these challenges, to do these the podcast every week, to do everything is because of Patreon. It is the thing that allows us to do this. Podcasting is not free. People think it is. It's not. We have a website. We have you know, the hosting of the podcast. We have subscriptions to different things to make sure that we can continue doing this in a effective and efficient manner. And, you know, we do this for you guys and we really appreciate the support that you all give us. So thank you for everyone who supports us there. And now clampmendations.
Clampmendations.
So this week I'm going to recommend everyone check out an older Marvel show called Cloak and Dagger. It's something I've been watching because I've been trying to literally watch every single Marvel show, including the very bad show called Inhumans. Despite, I really like the Inhuman like storyline in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the Inhumans TV show was like I couldn't connect with the characters. It was like a little royal family spat, and I was like, I don't connect with any of you. But Cloak and Dagger, on the other hand, is a interesting one where it had to, it's I'm only a couple episodes in, but I'm really enjoying the way it's going about. So everyone should go check it out.
Cool.
I'm going to copy everyone else's because I honestly don't have one. And the best thing I've seen this last week is your new mallet. So I'm going to recommend Birchshell Designs again.
Ah, my new mallet. Yes.
Your new mallet. Because like that's sick. I love the little ears. They're so cool. Yeah.
Well, those are my ears, apparently. I think it's like looking at it. So obviously, like looking at it, because a cylinder like stretches your face out, right?
Yeah, of course.
And I think it's just so weird looking at it that way, because if you look at it from the top, because it doesn't stretch your face, like it's like weird to like see that like switch.
What's like looking in, like looking at something through a glass of water?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Infraction.
I wonder if Nick is capable of like designing it to like so that you
where can, it's like skinny so it makes it look normal.
Yeah, exactly. You can like compensate for the
concave
nature of that.
There's probably some sort of formula to work that out, I would say. I don't know. Yeah. But when Abby opened the box, she's probably thinking, like, If you don't know what we're talking about, go watch Grant's reel, because when his wife opens the box and just sees a head in a box, that's funny.
Severed head with a spinal
cord. Yeah.
So yeah. It is, yeah, I love that thing. It's really cool. So when I open the box, I open it up and I just see my head, because the neck is covered by a piece of, like the spinal cord handle is covered by a piece of the packaging material. So I don't see it. I don't get that, like, oh, what is this reaction? Yeah. I get it. It's much slower. So I'm just like excited the fact that it's my face on a mallet. And then later I see it's a spinal cord and I'm like, this is still cool. But when I showed it to my wife, I'd obviously already opened up the package. I, you know, closed it back up, and then she opened it up, and yeah, her reaction was was perfect. I hope people have watched through to see that part of the reel, because I thought it was cool. Anyways, yeah, go check out Nick. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Ask Us Anything is up next, and Jesse's not here, but we're going to do one anyways. I picked one that she has not picked, obviously, because also wouldn't make any sense. But one Willow Forge sent in this question. It is, have you ever specialized in something, abandoned it, and come back to it a decade or two later? Or 5 years or whatever.
I was going to say, I don't think I'm old enough to answer that question.
You 100% are.
I don't know. I mean, I guess kind of what I'm doing now. Like, when I was growing up, I was always customizing, you know, like I'd pull my Xbox apart and paint it and put it back together and all that sort of stuff. And then I kind of abandoned the whole custom stuff and went into woodworking and making stuff from scratch. And now I've gone back into the customizing stuff because I realize that's what I really like. But nothing specific or nothing that I specialized in.
So I definitely have. So I grew up like making models and racing RC cars was like the big thing. And I abandoned it at least a decade ago, but maybe 20 years ago, I kind of abandoned model making. And 15 or 5 years ago or a little more, I got back into model making and I made a bunch of models, but I've abandoned it again. But it's not like abandoned. It's just like it doesn't have – I don't have the time in my life right now for that hobby. I haven't sold any of this. That's a perfect hobby stuff
to fill in that 15 minutes.
You would think so. And some days it is. The problem is like you have to have a dedicated setup in order to fill those 15.
Yeah.
And I don't have a spot that I'm willing to sacrifice to have that set up.
Yeah.
But it's on, like, I'd like to do more models. And I think as the kids get older and they start being interested into it, I'll get them into, like, the little, like, snap together ones and painting stuff.
It's funny you say that because I thought the same thing about, like, Lego and stuff. But then my wife just gets annoyed because I try to take over because I want to build the Lego.
So my oldest son, as now he can just build them, right? Every once in a while, he'll ask for help. Like, he doesn't get what the instructions are trying to say, and I get that because sometimes they're like, flip the model around 360 degrees, replace this, like, random piece that, you know, and it's like, I don't understand what this instruction, and, you know, he'll kind of make a mistake or whatever. But it sucks because I enjoyed building the Lego. So.
I know. I said to my wife, like, someone needs to buy me a Lego set for my birthday or something that's for me to build. Because, like, I don't get to the enjoyment anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just the asshole for taking over.
The problem, I don't take over, but not anymore.
No, not anymore.
So what we do is oftentimes he gets multiple Lego sets. And he asks me to build one while he's building one so that we're both building at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I often end up getting like the less fun set to build, but
yeah,
I at least get to build something. But yeah, it is like when I see those like monster builds that apparently take days, I'm like, I don't think they take days. I think you're just like not a very good Lego builder because I don't know. I think I'm pretty quick at building Lego.
Do you watch Lego Masters?
No.
Okay. It's quick little recall to the beginning of the episode. It drives me insane how some Lego now, well, actually most Lego sets, you have to download an app for the instructions.
What?
Like, what happened to the booklets? Yeah, like the. So, do you guys get the Mario ones where you build the Mario course? Have you seen those?
No.
It's like essentially you build like a Mario level, and you move Mario throughout it, and he's digital. So, like when you put him on stuff, it reads a QR code that's like a sticker on the map, and then he does different things. But you have to download not just download a Lego app. You have to download Lego Super Mario app. To then tell it what specific box you have, like the model box, and then it will give you the instructions on how to build it. And it drives me insane because my son's like, oh, I want to build it. And I'm like, okay, well, now I've got to go find the iPad so I can download the app so that you can.
So they have they have an app, and you can, there's a QR code that you can scan to have like an app build along with you. But all of mine have, paper instructions. And if they ever move away from paper, if Lego, if you're listening and you ever move away from paper instructions, I will not buy another one.
Because it's all the environment, you know, save the trees. But like, I like the idea of the app that like, cause it shows you like the piece moving, like an animation, like it shows you like the piece moving into where it goes. So like if he gets lost or whatever, it can easily show him how to do it. But I want the option to not use the app, like you said.
90%
You don't mind if there's an app as long as you can do everything without it.
90% of the time, I do not even look at the instructions.
Well,
I look at the finished picture, and I just start building because that's what I like to do. Men don't need
instructions.
Right. I do, like, and it gets me into trouble sometimes because they sometimes, like, put a random colored piece in them, like, that you can't see, and I'm like, God damn it, why did you do that? But I'm like, I'm always working like 2 to 3 pages at a time.
Mm.
Right? Like I'm never just on the page where half open. I'm flipping forward and back and I'm looking at all of it. So maybe Lego is something I specialized in that I abandoned and I'm back into.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. But with that being said, I want to thank TF Turning for the theme song. I want to thank Adam for being here. And there's a thing. So we have a little Google Doc. You want a little behind the scenes? We have a little Google Doc, and every single time, because I don't want to delete it in case this is like one of the ADHD problems. If I delete it, I'll never remember again.
You'll forget it. Yep.
Thank guest if applicable. And so every time I'm looking, thank TF Turning for the theme song. And then it says, thank guest if applicable. And every week I want to go, thanks, Adam and Jesse. Anyways, it's been fun. And we're going to head into the after show, which is something you get if you join Patreon. And see y'all there.
Bye.